The cemetery turned into a crime scene. A man shot and killed at a funeral. Tonight, what we've learned about the victim and the violent string of events leading up to the deadly attack. Good evening. There was a heavy police presence today at a cemetery in Richmond Hill.
This is where the gunfire erupted. People who came to mourn one death ended up witnessing another. CTV's Austin Delaney joins us live tonight from the scene. Austin.
And police have identified the man who was shot dead in the cemetery yesterday. He's a 26-year-old from Barrie. It was a targeted shooting, possibly because of his involvement in a murder some 7 years ago.
The murder victim, 26-year-old Ayub Hirsi Ali, had once faced a murder charge of his own. In 2015, the then 20-year-old was charged with the first-degree murder of 27-year-old Kabil Abdul Qadir, shot outside the Toronto Marriott Hotel. This past Tuesday, on the 7th anniversary of that murder, 27-year-old Gidid Mohammed was gunned down outside a social club near Lawrence and Weston Road. And as his family and friends buried him yesterday, gunmen entered the Toronto Muslim cemetery and opened fire.
Noise like fast. Tick, 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 tick. It's like, you know, like machine. I can't believe.
This woman, too afraid of gang retaliation to be identified, saw it all. Ayub Ali, who had been found guilty of manslaughter as the getaway driver in the 2015 murder, would die from his gunshot wounds. A 27-year-old rideshare driver at the cemetery to pick him up is in serious condition. Today, investigators using metal detectors scoured the grounds for bullet casings, hoping for a fingerprint that could lead to the killers, three or four men escaping in an SUV.
It's absolutely insane, you know, like it's nonsense.
Ali Zaidi came to pray at his wife's grave today, turned away so police could continue their investigation.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, especially in this kind of situation. That's not good.
Large bullet holes could be seen in the car where Ali was shot standing next to the vehicle. The driver shot in the car.
So investigators are looking for three or four men who were wearing masks, escaped in a black SUV going north on Leslie. Investigators also say there were a lot of witnesses at this funeral. They'd like those people to come forward with the information they have to stop this cycle of violence. We're live. I'm Austin Delaney.
All right. Thank you, Austin. A man was killed in a head-on crash early this morning. It happened just after 4 a.m. near Dufferin and Steeles. Police say the man, a 57-year-old, was in one vehicle that crashed with another. The man was taken to hospital but died. The woman in the other car was also injured.
And a woman died after being struck by a train in Mississauga. It happened around 6 a.m. near Dundas and Cawthra. GO Train service was initially disrupted during the morning commute. Police and CP Rail officials are investigating.
And a cyclist was struck by a car this afternoon near Eglinton and the DVP. Police say the man was taken to hospital with life-threatening injuries. The southbound ramp to the DVP from Eglinton is closed for the investigation.
We turn to the fallout from a massive outage that hit downtown Toronto.
It left close to 10,000 people without power. Tonight, we're learning more about the cause and the efforts to make sure it doesn't happen again. CTV's John Musselman is live at a hydro substation in the Portlands where the whole problem began. John.
Nathan, yes, we're just north of that location, and we'll just zoom in here and show you that the crews are still up there making the repairs to the transmission line here. We are told they are making progress, and as you mentioned, an investigation is now underway to find out why and how this happened in the first place.
Hydro One says it will take a few days to repair the damage after a crane hit a power line in the channel in the Portlands. It created a surge causing a power outage affecting 10,000 customers yesterday in the downtown core, an accident that is now under investigation.
There are same safety limits, safe limits of approach, if you will, around aerial transmission lines, and those weren't respected in this case.
The barge was being operated by a subcontractor working for the main contractor hired by the city for the Aspergers Bay Outfall Treatment Project.
Basic. We're not talking about high tech much here. We're just talking about a sort of, you know, being attentive and about common sense and advanced preparation if you're going to move a big crane around.
We do know at this point in time is there were two contractors, subcontractors, doing work. They were moving equipment from one location to another location in the port in preparation of future construction activity. We have a large project that's underway that's doing work onshore by the Ashbridges Bay treatment plant, but also in the lake, about 3.5 kilometers out in the lake. And we're going to use stone that needs to be placed out in the lake. And these subcontractors were going to do that work for us. But
the outage forced many businesses to close, including restaurants and the St. Lawrence Market. Office towers temporarily lost power. The Eaton Center also had to close for a period of time. Traffic lights were out, and some people were even trapped in elevators.
I would like to thank the crews from Ontario Hydro and from Toronto Hydro and the first responders, because there were many buildings where people were stuck in elevators and our firefighters and others had to go and help them. And I want to thank the people for their patience yesterday. I think they all understood this was as a result of what you could only call a random accident.
Hydro crews were able to reroute power to nearly 50% of its customers shortly after the accident happened. Power was fully restored around 8 o'clock last night. City officials would not confirm if the subcontractor will face any consequences for this incident. The city is meeting with the main contractor next week to review why this happened.
And city officials went on to say they hope to have a full review within 3 weeks about what happened here. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thanks, John. Businesses were evacuated this afternoon because of a chemical leak in North York. First responders were called to a parking lot on Leslie Street near York Mills. That's where a truck was leaking sulfuric acid. Officials say there were no injuries and they were able to contain the leak.
Gas prices jumped at midnight, but if you can hold off till tomorrow, they're expected to fall again. Prices were up 8 cents today to $1.749 a liter across the GTA and most of southern Ontario. But Dan McTagg, the president of Canadians for Affordable Energy, says they'll go back down 7 cents tomorrow.
Still to come tonight, a contract showdown just weeks ahead of a new school year. The war of words between the province and education workers. Could parents and students be caught in the middle?
Heading outside, plenty of sunshine and nice warm temperatures. It's been a lovely summer Friday so far. But what about this evening and the weekend? Michelle Jobin's here with a look at what's in store. Michelle.
Well, Nathan, for the most part, we are looking at really favorable conditions, especially for those that don't really like a lot of humidity. I will say, though, that we're dealing with some cooler overnight lows in the region, but it's been a beautiful day so far. Let's take a look at how things are shaping up right now out there. Not a lot of humidity to tell you about. We are sitting comfortably in the mid-20s throughout the GTA. Bit of a flow of air out of the north, still not too windy, but still a nice breeze that we're experiencing, sustained at 20 kilometers an hour. 25 at the islands right now, 25 at Pearson. An overnight low early this morning, though, of 12 degrees. So if you're out early in the morning, you'll want to have a light jacket or a sweater, perhaps. I'll let you know what else you can expect coming up. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. After the health minister said the province is looking at innovations in the healthcare system, Premier Doug Ford addressed the idea of privatization plans and whether Ontarians will have to pay for care.
There's one thing we'll guarantee. You'll always be covered by OHIP, not the credit card, but OHIP. And there's different systems out there that they've brought to my attention. And again, I'm sitting down and talking to the experts. They're going to come up with solutions. And we're continuing to move forward, building the infrastructure and hiring more nurses, more PSWs, 27,000 of them. But we're going to get it resolved.
The premier said all options are on the table and any changes will be led by expert advice. Advocates argue the province needs to do more to recruit and retain healthcare staff, including repealing wage caps.
With just a few weeks to go before the start of another school year, a war of words has emerged between Ontario teachers and the Minister of Education.
It comes ahead of contract negotiations, and there are fears classes could be interrupted even before they begin. CTV's Andrew Brennan joins us live with the details. Andrew.
Michelle, Nathan, these trenches are getting more and more dug. Along one side, you have the education minister who says that the union on the other side is provoking the public, whereas the union says that this education minister is misleading people to think a strike is coming.
It's almost time for that first morning bell, and Sarah Tamim is ready for grade four, mostly.
I'm really excited, but also kind of nervous at the same time, because I'm going to meet like a new teacher and lots of stuff like that.
But there is other stuff going on between education staff and the education minister.
The government will do whatever it takes to keep them in school. My hope is that QP will rescind this provocative step.
He's very much jumping the gun.
The union says the minister is trying to scare parents.
Whipping up the crowd around whether school was going to be there in September. I will be clear, we will be at work.
The union has called for a meeting to discuss a strike vote. The government has yet to present an offer at the bargaining table. That's coming on Monday, while the union is asking for over 11% more in pay.
The entire Ministry of Colleges and Universities budget is less than this ask. The entire budget of Saskatchewan is less than this ask.
But Laura Walton, who is also an educational assistant, says some of her colleagues are going to food banks.
For most workers, for myself, for instance, it would mean the difference of making $36,000 a year or making $40,000 a year. There is not a single worker who's going to get rich.
Yet after 2 years of COVID disruptions to school, many parents aren't enthused at even the prospect of a strike.
I'd be very upset. I just want the kids to be in school and I want them to learn.
After what all the kids have gone through, yes, it's a huge setback for them.
Others see the rise of inflation.
It's a tough time for everyone, right? So who am I to say they don't deserve it?
The question now, what the government thinks they deserve and what it can afford.
One thing that both sides agree on, having kids in school and in school as much as possible as a pandemic does continue, is paramount. What they don't agree on is how to get through these negotiations, which appear to be getting more and more contentious. Reporting live, I'm Andrew Brennan. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thanks, Andrew. Also ahead tonight, separated for 35 years, two sisters share details of their journey, how they connected after half a lifetime apart. Their story later in the newscast.
Wastewater testing that has helped Canada keep tabs on the spread of COVID-19 is being adapted to start looking for monkeypox.
There are now more than 1,000 confirmed cases of monkeypox in Canada, the bulk of them in Ontario and Quebec. CTV's Vanessa Lee reports.
Canada has deployed close to 100,000 vaccines to provinces and territories in its fight against monkeypox, along with more than $500,000 in federal funding to help organizations target stigma.
Queer men are largely bearing the burden of this outbreak. For many, Mpox is extremely painful. It requires unpaid time off work and weeks of isolation. Our communities need support.
The majority of cases involve men who have had sex with other men. But doctors stress monkeypox is not considered a sexually transmitted disease. Anyone can get the virus. At least 50,000 Canadians have received the shot, including gay men like Michael Connolly.
We're a community where it's been spreading faster than other communities. And so I thought it was important to do my part to make sure that I'm protecting myself, my friends.
Earlier this week, the U.S. announced it will stretch its limited supply of vaccines by giving a fifth of the current dosage, citing research suggesting the reduced amount is just as effective. For now, Canada has no plans to follow suit.
We're really pushing out the approach of one dose first to reach as many people as possible in our most highly impacted populations.
Canada's top doctor says while early signs point to cases slowing down compared to the start of the outbreak, it's too soon to say if they are plateauing. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
And here in Toronto, public health will now allow residents to book monkeypox vaccine appointments online. The appointments will be limited to people who meet provincial criteria for the shot. And clinics are operating at Metro Hall, Cloverdale Mall, and 1940 Eglinton Avenue East. Officials say it's preferred residents book in advance, but walk-in spots will still be available. The booking portal and more details are on the city's website, toronto.ca.
Also today, Toronto Public Health shared an update on COVID-19 vaccine coverage in the city. More than two-thirds of eligible adults have now had at least one booster shot or a third dose. The city says everyone eligible should get up to date on their first or second boosters as soon as possible. To date, more than 7.3 million doses of COVID vaccine have been administered in Toronto, and vaccine clinics continue at events this weekend.
Canada will look at what options there are to look for polio in sewage. The move comes after the virus was detected in New York City's wastewater. Health officials say that suggests likely local circulation, and it's another sign the disease has been spreading among unvaccinated people. Authorities are urging anyone who is not vaccinated to get a shot immediately. The potentially deadly disease has not been seen in the U.S. in a decade. British health authorities recently reported finding evidence of the virus in London, but no cases in people were found.
Tragic news out of Hollywood. Actor Anne Heche has been pronounced dead following a serious car crash earlier this month.
Her family says she's legally brain dead, but remains on life support in the hope she can be an organ donor. CTV's Raheem Ladani is in studio tonight with more. Raheem.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, doctors are now assessing which organs may be viable for transplant and looking for a recipient. But Heche has been in a coma with severe burns and lung injuries following her accident last week. From a young age in Hollywood, Anne Heche became known as a great person to work with.
At 12 years old, she said, "I found heaven on the stage. I'd been given an opportunity to experience a life and a joy that was not in my family."
According to her family, Heche suffered a brain injury following a car crash last week. Police say she smashed into a residential neighborhood in Los Angeles and that a fire erupted with Heche's car still inside the home. A blood sample showed narcotics in her system at the time of the crash. A representative for the actor says, while Anne is legally dead according to California law, her heart is still beating and she has not been taken off life support so that one legacy can see if she is a match for organ donation.
It's a sad end to a very troubled life. I think that she will be remembered as a person who struggled with mental health.
A native of Ohio, Heche rose to fame in the late 1980s and 90s. She earned a daytime Emmy for her role in the soap opera Another World, becoming an A-list celebrity after performances in films like 6 Days, 7 Nights, Wag the Dog, and Donnie Brasco.
She's been in a lot of stuff, and she had just wrapped a show called The Idol with The Weeknd, and it was from the creators of Euphoria. So, I mean, it was going to be a pretty big show. You know, she was as busy as ever.
Comedian Ellen DeGeneres tweeting today, "This is a sad day. I'm sending Anne's children, family, and friends all of my love." DeGeneres and Heche made headlines for being a couple in the 90s, dating for 3 years.
And I remember that news was everywhere. And at the time, Anne Heche's career kind of as a romantic lead in movies was just taking off, so she took a big risk.
She is survived by her two sons, ages 13 and 20. Anne Heche was 53 years old.
While the cause of the crash is under investigation, the people who live in the house that was struck by Heche's car were home at the time, but escaped with no injuries. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. Salman Rushdie was stabbed in the neck and abdomen today during a lecture in Western New York. The 75-year-old author was attacked by a man who rushed the stage at the Chautauqua Institution. That's about 90 kilometers southwest of Buffalo. The assailant was apprehended by a New York State police trooper. Rushdie was airlifted to hospital where he is undergoing surgery. The Iranian-born novelist spent years in hiding after Iran put a bounty on his head because of his writing. But Rushdie has lived relatively openly after the Iranian government said in 1998 it would no longer support the fatwa. Police are still looking for a motive in today's attack.
We are working with the DA's office. We are in the process of obtaining search warrants for various items. There was a backpack located at the scene. There was also electronic devices. So we're working with the DA's office to obtain search warrants and further the investigation.
The suspect has been identified as Hadi Matar, a 24-year-old man from Fairview, New Jersey. Police say he bought a pass to the event. The lecture's moderator suffered a minor head injury.
Court papers show the FBI removed documents labeled top secret from Donald Trump's Florida home. Agency seized 11 sets of classified documents during Monday night's raid on the former U.S. president's Mar-a-Lago estate. The disclosures were made in a search warrant and legal documents released today. The Justice Department said in the warrant it had probable cause to believe Trump may have violated a federal law that prohibits the possession or transmission of national defense information. In a statement this afternoon, Trump said the records at issue were all declassified and placed in secure storage.
The Royal Canadian Air Force has a new leader. Lieutenant General Eric Kenny assumed command during a ceremony today. He has served in a number of roles during his career. They include on the flight line and in staff and command positions. Kenny takes over from Lieutenant General Al Menzinger.
Meanwhile, a group of Canadian soldiers departed today for a mission to help the Ukrainian army. About 90 of our troops left Edmonton for the UK. We'll take part in Operation Unifier, helping train Ukrainian recruits who volunteered to defend their country against Russia. The Canadians will be there for about 4 months. Another 100 are expected to depart on Monday. They'll join fellow soldiers from Britain, the Netherlands, and New Zealand.
In Ukraine, the president honored children today who have displayed heroism since the invasion by Russia. Vladimir Zelensky and First Lady Olena Zelenska took part in a ceremony for 8 young Ukrainian children. They were given gifts by the Ministry of Internal Affairs. Among those recognized, a young man from the Chernihiv region who helped guard his street from Russian troops. The ceremony at Kyiv's Mariinsky Palace took place on Youth Day in Ukraine.
In France, firefighters from across Europe are helping battle that monstrous blaze in the southwest. The fire has been burning for days. Flames have scorched over 7,400 hectares and displaced 10,000 people. French authorities hope the assistance from countries such as Germany, Romania, and Greece will make a difference. High temperatures and a worsening drought threaten to result in new fires erupting. An expected end to France's third heat wave on Sunday could bring some relief.
In BC, 45 new wildfires have been recorded in the last 2 days, and that includes one suspected of being sparked by lightning. Severe thunderstorms have ripped through British Columbia's interior. They've delivered hundreds of lightning strikes to areas already at a high to extreme risk for wildfires. The new blazes remain small, but more lightning is in the forecast for areas of southern and southeastern BC.
In Las Vegas, rain fell from the ceiling of Planet Hollywood, soaking casino tables after another round of heavy rain. There was major water damage all along the famous strip after the weather system moved through last night. It's a repeat of just a few weeks ago when a severe thunderstorm struck. The massive flooding also caused significant power outages in the city.
As the song says, it was a marvelous night for a moon dance. The last supermoon of the year lit up the sky last night. This beautiful sight was captured by one of our video journalists, Tom Podluck. It happens when the moon appears closest to the Earth's orbit and appears bigger and brighter than ever. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to the Earth at the moment of full moon, it is considered to be a supermoon. Coming up, an attack of a different kind on Doug Ford. A bee gets up close and personal with the premier in a live moment that may very well go down in history.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up, it's Feedback Friday. More viewers tell us they've been hit with special assessments on their condos. More people expect their heating bills to almost double this winter. And with all the scams going around, are you sure your computer is up to date? Feedback Friday is just ahead.
Looking into the weekend, it's a good one whether you're in the GTA or maybe heading to the cottage. But I will let you know, some cooler overnight lows are on tap for us really around the region. In fact, in Algonquin Park, we got into the low single digits last night. But lots of sunshine on the way for both Saturday, a little less for Sunday, a little more humidity that day, though. I'll be back with your full 7-day forecast coming up.
We had a lot of reaction to our stories this week on condominiums that have to issue special assessments when they need expensive repairs.
Some condo owners were unaware they could have to pay more than just their monthly maintenance fees, while others say it's happened to them. Here's Pat Foran with Feedback Friday. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, with almost 1 million condo units in Ontario, some buildings are getting older and will need repairs. One woman said she was hit with a $39,000 special assessment when her building needed a new boiler. And others also got big bills they weren't expecting.
Residents of townhouse condominium units in Country Lane Estates in Aurora got a surprise. The 200 owners have been told to come up with $3.5 million for major repairs. Lori West-Ritza pays $740 a month in maintenance fees and now has to pay an additional special assessment of almost $20,000.
They threatened a lien on our property if it doesn't get paid.
Rakam wrote, "We had a special assessment of $35,000 on our condo, had to cash in our children's education funds to pay for it." Anyone who uses propane to heat their homes will have to pay a lot more this winter. A couple from Ennismore say they were shocked to find out their equal billing charge would be jumping from $176 a month to $300.
I can't sleep at night. I worry.
Les told us natural gas payments have also jumped. My monthly charge on equal billing was $75. It was just raised to $135. Katharina Muir was working on her laptop when a warning popped up saying she had a virus on her computer.
You've been infected. Don't touch your computer. Call this number.
It started her on a path to being scammed out of $60,000. Jim wrote, "The pop-ups that hijack computers can be blocked with antivirus software. It's good practice to scan for viruses and Trojans regularly." Gift cards are no longer allowed to expire in Ontario. However, there are exceptions. Gift cards for some services can expire, and prepaid credit cards and shopping mall gift cards are allowed to deduct monthly fees that over time can reduce the cards to zero.
Every month, $250 was taken off for nothing.
Nikki wrote, "I had a mall gift card with monthly fees I was unaware of. By the time I went to use it, they gobbled up the entire value of the gift card."
And we get complaints often from people who bought or received gift cards that turn out to be empty. You should only buy gift cards that are behind the counter, keep the receipt, and try to use them as soon as possible in case there is a problem. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, this is the kind of weather you want to take us into the weekend. Although if you were out last night, you definitely found yourself saying, oh, I could use a jacket. And it might be the case tonight as well.
Yeah, funny you say that. It does cool down at night for sure, Michelle.
We're definitely seeing that because of the clearer skies that we're experiencing right now, Michelle and Nathan, and the flow of air out of the north. But I should mention, though, as we get later into August, our normals for this time of the year are starting to be on the decrease. I don't want to have that happen. I like the more tropical temperatures, but it is starting to happen as we approach Labor Day. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. And of course, it's going to keep happening after we get past Labor Day as well. But I feel like that's sort of the benchmark for us in terms of the unofficial end of summer. We are looking at 25 degrees right now in the city of Toronto, really close to where we should be at this time of the year. Notice I don't have Humidex values painted on for you. And that's just because it was just negligible today. We had that flow of air out of the north that was a much drier flow of air. Look at these overnight lows. A little bit chilly for sure if you're out in the early morning hours or the late night. We'll stay to about 20 degrees until about 11 at night, and then we'll drop below. But we do have a breeze out of the north and single-digit lows outside the GTA I mentioned overnight. Last night in Algonquin Park, it was very, very cool. Getting closer to the zero mark. Look at tomorrow, though. Temperatures are really favorable for the most part throughout the region. If you're in the GTA, 26, 27 degrees for the most part. Lots of sunshine and, again, very low humidity that's on the way for us. Tomorrow is going to be another day just like today. UV index quite high tomorrow, really around the region, a little lower Ottawa and Windsor, but still in the high range. So when we look at our satellite and radar, we see that big clear space over southern Ontario. Surface high pressure that's dominating. It's also helping to funnel some air from the north into our vicinity. But there's an approaching system that's moving in from the west, from the southwest. It's going to change things up a little bit for Sunday, but not too dramatically. As we look into the early morning tomorrow, a little bit of cloud cover here and there, but for the most part, tomorrow is a sunny day. We will see some active weather, though, in southwestern Ontario. You'll see some showers that system moves over into Sunday.
It's mostly a mix of sun and cloud or mostly cloudy day, but we do have the potential of some showers as we get into the afternoon and the evening. This is a relatively low risk. It's not an all-day rain event for the GTA. 27 tomorrow, feeling like 27, UV index an 8 or very high. It's going to be 12 overnight, though, into that. 24 on Sunday, feeling closer to about 26. A little more cloud and a slight risk of showers. Staying cool, relatively speaking, for the 7 day. We might get a little warmer as we get past August 20. Or so. Back to you.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a celebration of the great food our city has to offer.
Summerlicious is back. Local restaurants hoping to recoup some of the business they lost during pandemic closures. CTV's Scott Lightfoot joins us from Lakeshore West with all the details. Scott.
Well, Nathan, more than 200 restaurants participating all across the city this year. Normally, this is something focused in the downtown. This year, it stretches from Etobicoke to Scarborough. You mentioned COVID, all the restaurants trying to come back from that. Here in Etobicoke, they're also dealing with road construction. And there's hope that Summerlicious will bring in some much-needed new clientele. Opa! From sizzling Greek cuisine in Scarborough...
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
To Indian food in Etobicoke. It's a chance to discover new restaurants and new foods in Toronto.
What a great opportunity to bring new customers in. We all need it, especially after COVID.
Summerlicious started today and runs for the next 18 days. More than 200 restaurants across the city offering a fixed price, three-course meal for lunch or dinner.
Ever since we were listed on the Summerlicious platform, we are getting calls asking for reservations, what date it is. You know, we are getting so much inquiries about the menu, so we are really excited.
At Kozer Indian Cuisine on Lakeshore, they managed to get through the pandemic thanks to the support of their regular customers. This year, they're new to Summerlicious and hoping to gain some new customers as well.
We think, yeah, we'll get more new people coming in, knowing about our restaurant. We are hoping for the best.
Summerlicious had been a staple in the city for almost 2 decades, postponed by the pandemic. But organizers with the city say the restaurant industry wanted to see it return.
We work in close collaboration with the industry, so we consulted when we knew we'd hopefully be in a position to bring back Summerlicious. And they told us that we needed to bring it back. It was really important. Over the course of the 18 years, it's generated more than $350 million in revenue for Toronto restaurants. 7.9 million meals have been served over that time. So in as much as they relied on takeout, delivery, a lot of that during the course of the pandemic, getting back to the real revenue associated with in-room dining was critical for them.
Restaurants across the city ready to welcome back old customers and welcome in new ones with the return of Summerlicious.
Come out and experience the dining again that it was prior to 3 years ago.
40% of the restaurants participating in Summerlicious this year are doing so for the first time. You can get more details on locations, where you can get Summerlicious reservations on the city's website. Summerlicious runs this year until August 28th. Reporting live in Etobicoke, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Nathan, going to go grab some dinner.
Yeah, good idea. Thanks, Scott. And if you're looking to work up an appetite, this could do it. The world's largest bounce house is passing through the GTA. The Big Bounce Canada has set up the attraction at the Markham Fairgrounds. It holds the Guinness World Record for the largest bounce house at nearly 1,500 square meters or 16,000 square feet. The event also features an inflatable sports arena and obstacle course. It runs through this weekend and next, Friday through Sunday. Also tonight, adopted into families far apart after more than 30 years of not knowing how these sisters finally found each other. Their story just ahead. A pair of sisters adopted into separate families have found each other and they're sharing their story.
One look and it's obvious they're related. It just took more than 3 decades for them to meet.
I wish you could like that stuff too.
You know, it's probably better I don't.
You'd never know these two sisters have spent half a lifetime apart.
Even though 30 years of her life and 32 years of my life, we didn't know each other. But as soon as we started talking, it's like we've known each other our whole lives, you know, instant connection.
Yes, Ashley Brown and Lorinda Collado finish each other's sentences despite decades of distance.
I knew I had siblings,
out there somewhere, and I knew that there was definitely a possibility that at least one of them had been adopted out.
The girls were born 2 years apart in the Dominican Republic, each adopted in infancy, each with a picture of their biological parents.
I know for me growing up, you know, in knowing that she was out there, you just kind of have this hole in your heart, hole in your soul.
Lorinda was raised in Connecticut. Ashley went to live with a family in Barbados, eventually moving to Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Started with, you know, adoptee websites, asking questions, MySpace.
Then in 2019, they each happened to take a DNA test with MyHeritage.com, and it finally put an end to all the wondering.
I got a hit, and it was either my sister or my aunt, based on how old they were. So I immediately sent off an email to Lorinda.
The family resemblance is there, and I wrote her back and said, oh my God, I think you're my sister.
They talked for weeks. Then Lorinda drove to Niagara Falls to stay with Ashley and meet her daughter.
I can't even describe it. It was the most amazing, beautiful thing I could have ever hoped for.
It's just the best relationship.
It really is.
You know, it's so worth it. It was worth all the waiting and all the searching.
Lorinda was able to share with her newfound sister that she had traveled to the Dominican Republic and met with the rest of their birth family. Their biological mother passed away 6 months before the girls found each other, but they both did connect with their father, who has since passed away.
You're like a mix, but I see mommy in you.
Yeah.
In sharing their story, the message for others in search of family is simple.
Please don't give up hope. Keep the faith.
Keep
at it.
I love you, Susie.
I love you, too. I'm going to miss you.
I miss you, too.
See, because of the pandemic, they haven't been able to see each other beyond their first meeting until now. And they have two older brothers, and one of their biggest wishes is to be able to afford to go over to the Dominican Republic and create more of a relationship with their birth family.
Nearly 25 years after it first aired, Disney is reuniting the cast of its 1997 adaptation of Cinderella.
Impossible. Impossible. Impossible.
The TV movie was praised for its diverse casting. It starred Brandy as Cinderella and the late Whitney Houston as the fairy godmother. Houston will appear in archival footage while Brandy, Jason Alexander, Bernadette Peters, and other cast members are set to return for the reunion. It should air on August 23rd.
Security cameras capture a lot of unexpected moments, and now those moments are being turned into a new TV show. Deadline reports the show will be called Ring Nation. It's billed as a clip show featuring funny, silly, or emotional videos captured by Ring security cameras and submitted for broadcast. Amazon owns Ring, as well as the TV and production companies involved. Comedian Wanda Sykes has signed on to host Ring Nation. The show launches in late September.
Marvel fans are getting another look at the upcoming She-Hulk streaming series.
No judge is going to take this seriously unless we do things by the book.
The book of Vigente.
No, the book of American law.
Lawyer show.
The show features Canada's Tatiana Maslany as a lawyer who also happens to transform into a superpowered green creature. She-Hulk, attorney at law, follows her as she helps other Marvel characters with their legal disputes. As she navigates her own challenges, it begins streaming next week.
Organizers of the Eurovision Song Contest are narrowing down the list of potential host cities for next year's competition. Ukraine's Kalush Orchestra won this year in Italy, so Ukraine would typically host Eurovision, but it's been moved to the UK because of the ongoing conflict. Officials today tweeted out a map showing seven shortlisted host cities across England and Scotland. London is not in the running. A final decision will be made in the fall.
Lil Nas X has just achieved a rare feat with his debut single, Old Town Road. The video for the track featuring Billy Ray Cyrus surpassed 1 billion views on YouTube this week. The genre-bending track is the first from either artist to reach that milestone. The video for Old Town Road claimed a Grammy for Best Music Video in 2020. And the song spent a record 19 weeks at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, a new way to pay on some transit systems. How Metrolinx is making it easier for transit riders to get going.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, especially in this kind of situation.
Updating our top stories, after a deadly shooting at a Richmond Hill cemetery Thursday, police confirm the man killed, 26-year-old Ayub Hirsi Ali, faced a murder charge in 2015. He was later found guilty of manslaughter in the death of Kabil Abdul Qadir. A 27-year-old rideshare driver who came to pick him up at the cemetery was also shot. He's listed in serious condition.
And no one had taken account of the hydro wires, and this is no, you know, small matter.
After a major power outage hit downtown Toronto on Thursday, Hydro One says it will take a few days to repair the damage that sparked the blackout. A barge subcontracted on a city project was transporting a crane that hit high-voltage lines. Mayor John Tory says the city will look at ways to make Ontario's power infrastructure more resilient.
It would mean the difference of making $36,000 a year or making $40,000 a year.
Ontario education workers represented by CUPE have called for a meeting to discuss possible strike votes. They're calling for an 11% pay increase. The province says it will present its first contract offer Monday, but called the union's actions provocative.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
In business news, it was a rough start to the 2022 season for investors. The Toronto Stock Exchange hit a record high in March, then came tumbling down nearly 20%. But as B&M Bloomberg's Jacqueline Hansen tells us, it seems to be turning around.
Canada's benchmark stock index is climbing its way out of its summer slump. The TSX broke above a level it hasn't traded at in 2 months. The TSX crossed the 20,000-point level. While the significance is more psychological than anything, the index is gaining back ground. From its July low, it's up nearly 10%. Among the companies contributing the most to the rebound are investment giant Brookfield Asset Management, TD Bank, and e-commerce company Shopify. Let's take a look at some of the closing market numbers for today. The Canadian dollar is trading at 78.31 cents U.S., down ever so slightly. West Texas Intermediate oil fell more than $2 to just over $92 U.S. a barrel. And Western Canadian Select also fell nearly $2 to $72.47 U.S. a barrel. As for that stock market, the TSX gained nearly 200 points to end the day above 20,000 for the first time since early June. That is the latest in business. I'm Jacqueline Hansen of BNN Bloomberg.
The federal government says it's doubling its investment in Canada's homelessness strategy from $2 billion to $4 billion since the initiative's launch.
When a Canadian has no other choice but to end up on the street, it diminishes us as a society, and we have to do better.
Housing Minister Ahmad Hussein says more than 120,000 people access shelter services across Canada each year. Mayor John Tory says federal funding helps support more than 80 projects across the city.
You may be able to say goodbye to your Presto card as Metrolinx expands the way fares can be paid on some transit systems. Customers on GO Transit can now pay their fares by tapping their credit cards on a Presto device. That can be done with the card itself or with a mobile wallet on your phone or smartwatch. Metrolinx says it's important to check if other fare options are cheaper. The payment method is also available on Up Express, Brampton Transit, MyWay, and Oakville Transit, but it will not work on the TTC just yet.
A Toronto-bound plane was forced to divert to Iceland today after an incident on board. It's alleged a Canadian man became violent on a LOT Airlines flight from Warsaw, Poland, and he tried to open the plane's door mid-air. The airline says passengers intervened and the pilot decided to land in Reykjavik. For more details on what unfolded and how the flight crew responded to this incident, head to our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Just ahead, the moment during the premier's live news conference that has social media buzzing. How Doug Ford handled swallowing a bee mid-sentence.
Toronto.
Toronto is one of the most vibrant, diverse, and interesting cities on the planet. We're a world leader in many areas like business, finance, technology, entertainment, and culture.
Each week, Things to Know TO shines a spotlight on a wide variety of local businesses, services, events, and initiatives from across the GTA that are working to make our city even greater.
And one of the world's best places to live, work, and play. Join us Saturday mornings for Things to Know TO.
I'm Raheem Ladani. Coming up, police identify a man who was fatally shot at a funeral yesterday. And Summerlicious returns, giving foodies a chance to travel the world with their taste buds. Toronto's number one news tonight at 11:30.
Finally tonight, proof that life in the public eye can sting.
Premier Doug Ford is used to facing political attacks, but during a news conference this morning, he faced an opponent he wasn't expecting.
Coming from the health sector, holy I just swallowed a bee.
Oh my
holy
God.
I knew that little bugger. Oh.
Drown him. Drown him.
I'm good. He's down here buzzing around right now. He has a lot of real estate. Now, if that was in the clip, okay, this is going to be replayed over and over again.
That's right. There was a bee buzzing around the premier, and he accidentally swallowed it during an announcement in Dundalk. As you can see, he's okay and joked about it with the media, calling it a classic moment. Can you imagine?
An unexpected snack. You know what? I don't want to laugh because we have flies buzzing around from time to time.
It could happen to anybody.
It could happen to anybody.
It certainly could. And you know what? There's definitely been some activity around here this evening. Lots of people want to be out and lots of animals and insects as well because it's a beautiful evening. Let's take a look at our current temperatures around the region right now. We are sitting quite nicely at 25 degrees here in Toronto, also in Grimsby, Niagara Falls, and Milton, 22 in Burlington. Beautiful evening to be out. We'll stay above 20 degrees until around 11 p.m. Clear, light winds out of the north. And as we get into tomorrow, more of the same, a little warmer, 27. Lots of sunshine, 24, feeling like 26 for Sunday with a little more cloud and a slight chance of showers.
Thank you, Michelle. And be sure to join Raheem Ladani later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
Good night.